Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Dawn Cherie Wilkerson.
Turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. This is what the word says. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Today I want to talk to you from the thought, the God of second chances. The God of second chances. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. God, we're here for you, for nobody else but you. You know us more than we know ourselves. And God, I believe, Lord, that you're going to speak to every one of us through your word. We open up our hearts to you even now, and we love you. Thank you, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The God of second chances. You know, we opened up this gathering of talks with Rich talking about you can't keep running away. And the word of God comes to Jonah in the beginning of the book of Jonah. And God commands Jonah, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach what I tell you. Preach, tell them that they have to repent. But we see Jonah and God have this conversation right in the beginning of the book of Jonah. And they don't talk again until Jonah is in the depth of the sea. In the belly of a fish. So many things happened from the time the word of God came to Jonah the first time to where he finds himself in the depth of the ocean in the belly of a fish. But they have not talked the entire time, according to the text. Just a quick recap on the book of Jonah, if you've never read it, maybe you haven't been here over the last few weeks. Jonah is a prophet. He's chosen by God to speak the word of God to the people of that time. And Jonah hears very loud and clear a word from God. Jonah, go to Nineveh. But Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is a place, it was a city that was full of sin, a city that was barbaric, doing torturous, horrible things to people that opposed their ways. And so Jonah gets the bright idea, God, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. God, I'm going to get on a boat in Joppa and head 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. Totally running from the word and the command of God. So Jonah goes to Joppa. He buys a ticket for the boat and he gets on the boat. And when he gets on the boat, the Bible says that God himself throws the ocean into a storm. Wow. That the boat finds itself rocking back and forth in a huge storm. And the sailors begin to fear for their life. Jonah, meanwhile, is asleep underneath in the ship. The captain comes and wakes Jonah up. Jonah, wake up. We're about to die. Cry out to your God. Jonah doesn't cry out to his God. Jonah goes up and all of a sudden the sailors are freaking out and they're crying out to their own gods and they're trying to figure out how they can all live, and then they cast lots to figure out who is responsible, whose sin is causing us to almost lose our lives. And they cast lots and it falls on Jonah. And then Jonah fesses up. Yes, I'm a Hebrew. Yes, I believe in the one true God. Yes, I am running from God. And the sailors try as they may, they try to row back to land. They try to get back to a safe place, but they can't. And finally they come to a place where they have to decide. Jonah says, throw me overboard. That's the only way the sea will still. And so they throw Jonah. Imagine this, guys. This is not a fairy tale story. This happened. They throw Jonah overboard. And it seems to be the most dangerous place, as Rick shared, that Jonah's ever been in. But it's actually the first time in the story that Jonah is in the middle of God's will. And as he plunges into the depths of the ocean, the word of God says that God sends a fish. And the fish, this large fish, swallows Jonah. And for 3 days and three nights, Jonah is in the belly of the fish. And for the first time, since God has spoken to Jonah, Jonah, go to Nineveh. He is now speaking to God. Have you ever stopped talking to someone before? In the 90s, it was talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. How about today, text messages? How many of you have the read receipt option on your phone? It's really funny, right? Because you text someone and then they're like, oh, I never got your text. And you're like, bro, I know you did. You read it at 9:42 p.m. This is kind of like Jonah and God, right? Jonah's like, God, I didn't hear it. And God's like, I know you heard it. I spoke it directly to you. But Jonah is not talking to God. Jonah is running from God. He runs from the presence of God, but the truth of the matter is Jonah knows he can't run from God. Think about it for a minute. Out of all the people of that time, Jonah more than anyone knows he can't run from God. He's one of a select few that God chose to be a prophet. He walks intimately with God. He knows God's ways. He walks uprightly. He's been chosen and selected less than 50 in that time period. We're chosen to be a prophet, and Jonah is chosen. He knows he can't run from God. But when the Word of God says that Jonah flees from God's presence, we have to actually look at what that really means. See, in Jonah 1:3, the original Hebrew phrase from the presence of God was actually a word, melifne. And it meant to walk away from an audience with the king. That you were actually leaving the presence of the king. See, Jonah knew that God saw him. Jonah knew that God knew exactly where he was as he got on that boat and headed in the opposite direction. Jonah knew that God was everywhere around the globe. He knew the power of his God, but Jonah didn't want to have a face-to-face conversation with God. Jonah was running from the manifest presence of God. See, Jonah was in Jerusalem when the word of the Lord came to him. Joppa was only 30 miles from Jerusalem, where he boarded the boat to leave. Jerusalem at that time was the center of all religious activities for the Jewish people. It was where God had chosen within the temple to allow his manifest presence to reside. And so Jonah goes, God, I know that I can't get away from you. I know you see me, but I don't want to talk to you right now. It looks a lot like us, right?
Yeah.
Same song, 500th verse. You thought that you were so smart when you didn't want to talk to God anymore, when you started just not showing up on Sunday. When you just stopped and backed away from your VU crew. Hello, VU crews are on this week, baby. We are celebrating all over the city. It's going to be awesome. But hey, I'm just too busy. I don't want to talk about what's going on in my life. I don't want my leader to look into my eyes and say, how's your relationship with God? Yeah. What is God speaking to you? What is the word saying to you? I know God sees me. I know that he's with me. But the bottom line is, I don't know. I don't like what he said to me last. And so I'm going to run from the manifest, face-to-face conversation and presence of God. And Jonah runs. Jonah runs and he gets on a boat. The truth of the matter is that the presence of God is healing and peace for those that seek it. But for those that run from it, it is haunting.
Wow.
Because you cannot escape the presence of God. You cannot escape him. He runs after you with love and compassion. But I'm getting ahead of the story. Jonah runs from God. He runs from his presence. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? I know you're there, but I just don't want to talk to you. Rich and I, when we first started dating, the first few years of our marriage, when we would get in an argument, how many of you know that some of the worst fights happen in the car? Is anybody with me? What is up with that? Is it like all the road rage culminates and you just get the vibe? I don't know what it is, but some of the worst fights happen while you're in the car. And when I would get in a fight with Rich, you know, there he is and I can't escape him. He's driving, but I'm sitting there. And when I would get really frustrated with him and he would be trying to talk to me and sort things out, I would just stare at the windshield. And I'm like, I'm not looking at you. Like, I'm so angry right now. I don't like what you're saying. I'm not looking at you. I know you're here, but I wish that I wasn't here and I don't have to look at you and I don't have to talk to you. I'd like to be at Ben and Jerry's right now all by myself having some ice cream. And you know, babe, I want to hang out with you later, but for now, I want to be by myself. This is what Jonah looks like. Maybe you found yourself there. God, I don't want to have any more intimate conversations with you right now. God, I need some space. I know you're here, but God, I don't want to look at you. I don't want to hear you speak to that wounded part of my life. Wow. You may want to bring healing, but it hurts too much for you to touch on it right now. God, I know that this area of my life doesn't please you. I know that this area of my life is not healthy. I know that this area of my life is broken. I know that this area of my life is covered from you, but God, I don't want to talk about it. Wow. We've all found ourselves in that position.
Good.
The first 3 weeks of every year, we start with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I encourage you, this Wednesday night, we have prayer. If you will not run from God, and if you will turn to Him, and if you will find yourself in the presence of God, it will change everything about your circumstance and situation. Isn't that what 21 days of prayer and fasting is about? Setting time aside, pushing aside all the distractions, shutting off all the voices of what the media says and your friends say and every other voice in your life says and say, God, I need to hear you. More than anything else in my life, I really need to hear you. Jonah, he finds himself in the belly of a fish. He didn't choose to turn off the distractions. He didn't choose to walk into a 21 day of prayer and fasting. But God said, I'm going to put you in a place where you can't hear one other voice, where you can't pick up one more distraction, where you can't play around any longer. And God puts Jonah in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. And that's the first time that Jonah now picks up the conversation with God. And as we read today, Jonah starts to repent. He says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, I remembered the Lord.
Yeah.
Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. Jonah comes clean. No more backup plans. No second option. He comes clean with God and says, I come back to who you are and who I know I am in you. And as Jonah cries out to God, an incredible thing happens. We read in Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. But then it gets even better because Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 says this, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Come on, there are two miracles in that verse. It's not just one miracle. God spared his life.
Yeah.
But hear me, God didn't just spare his life and say, I'm going to let you live. God then commissions him again. God then says, my word still stands true. I still want to use you. I've still called you. I haven't given up on you. Your life holds purpose. Walk in it. And the Bible says that God spares his life, and then the word of the Lord comes to Jonah again. Why does this stun us? Why are we shocked and amazed? Why do we think that this is so incredible? Is this not the God that we serve?
Yeah.
Is he not the God of second chances?
Come on.
Do you really understand the message of the gospel? Because the message of the gospel is that we serve a God of the second chance. We serve a God that doesn't write you off. When you turn back to him, he still says, as long as there is air in your lungs, I want to use you to shine my light. As long as you are still living on this earth, whatever your age, whatever your background, however long you've been away, I still want to use you. Come on, can anybody testify in this house that you have experienced the second chance of our God? It's good news. And can I tell you something? The story of Jonah, I know the book is called Jonah, but God is the starring role throughout. He is the God of second chances, and Jonah isn't the only one who gets a second chance. Read through the book. What about the sailors? The sailors cry out to their own God at first to save them. It says they all cried out to their own gods, but then they decided to cry out to Jehovah. Then they decided to cry out to Yahweh. Then they decided, we're going to trust in the one true God. And God didn't say, no, you got it wrong the first time, so you're going to die, you're going to perish, I'm done with you. God said, you cry out to me, I'm going to answer. You call my name and I will save you. You cry out and I will redeem you. He's the God of second chances. Not just the sailors, not just Jonah, but what about Nineveh? We read in Jonah chapter 3 that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And then in verse 3, it says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed. Isn't that amazing? We're in a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from the throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. God spared their life because they turned back to him. God, who was dead set on destroying the city, the moment they cried out and truly repented, said, I am the God of second chances. I hear you. I'm concerned. I will rescue you. I will spare you and I will use you. That's the God that you serve.
Come on.
What about Jonah? We read last week as Jonah uses some of the prayers from King David as he starts to cry out to God. He starts to use some of the prayers that he's read and knows so well as he starts to form his own conversation repenting to God. But do you know Jonah's story? Jonah, he was a murderer and he committed adultery. And then the word of David.
Yeah.
David committed, Jonah was not a murderer, guys. Let's just get that right. Like, I'm really sorry, Jonah. David committed murder and adultery. You know, the word of God says that David, when he sinned, he cried out, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Wasn't about what he did. It's his heart that caused him to do it. It's his heart that had turned away from God. It's his heart that had grown cold and callous and had chosen his own desires over the desires of God. And when David repented, yes, he faced consequences, but God still used him. God still used him. God is the God of second chances. What about Abraham, the forefather of faith? When we talked about the anchor of hope, we read how Abraham tries to circumvent the process of God for him to have a legacy as large as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. God promised it would happen, but it took too long. And Abraham said, God, I got my own idea. I'm going to have a child with my wife's maidservant. And Abraham makes a plan of his own. But God says, you know what? You tried to circumvent my process. I'm not going to take your option. but I am going to still allow you to be the forefather of faith.
Wow.
I still am going to make my promise come about in your life. How about we go all the way back to the very first man and woman, all the way back to Eden? Let's step back there for a moment where God creates man and woman in his image, and then we sin against God. We mess up this perfect, beautiful place filled with the presence of God. We mess it all up. But God prophesies even then as he speaks to the serpent who tempted. He makes a promise. Even in Eden's demise, God the Father says, listen, you may have sinned, but one day the seed of woman will crush the head of the serpent. The story's not over. You've got a second chance. All of humanity's got a second chance. Your sin cannot separate me. I will make a way. Is anybody thankful today for the God of the second chance? The word that God spoke all the way back in Eden, that the seed of the woman would crush the enemy's head, came in the form of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ walked this earth, all God and all man.
Beautiful.
And our broken humanity should have received him with joy. We should have received him with gratitude, but we nailed him to a cross. We crucified him as he came so that you could have a second chance and so that I could have a second chance. What kind of love is this? It's not the love that we know between ourselves. The love of the Father is perfect, so perfect that we can't even comprehend it. Our human love can't even start to stretch the span of God's love. Why? Because when we're wounded, we wound others. When we're hurt, we hurt others. When we're hit, we hit back. But the word of God says that Jesus turned the other cheek. He said, you know what? My love is greater than your current pain. My love is greater than your current bitterness, your current unforgiveness, your current wayward ways. My love is enough. And Jesus gave everything so that you could have life. So that the shame of your past could be wiped away forever. We serve the God of second chances. This entire book is full of second chances. We could go row by row, seat by seat in this place. Let me tell you, nobody is on take one. Nobody. That's good news, right? The message of the gospel. It starts with surrender. The kindness of God leads us to the burial ground of our past. The kindness of God says, come, come. You don't know a love like this, but then it says, lay down the junk you're holding on to because I love you too much to let you miss the greatness of walking in freedom with me. And Jonah repents. Maybe today you say, Don Cherie, okay, the God of second chances. What about 200 chances? I am further than 2,500 miles away from God's plan. I have made myself comfortable in my compromise and in my disobedience. Well, let's just think about Jonah for a second, because I actually think that he had a little more than two chances too. Jonah gets on the boat to Joppa. He gets on the boat at Joppa to sail away. He bought a ticket. He outright disobeyed God. That was one chance down. He gets on the boat. He goes to sleep down below. The captain comes and wakes him up. He says, cry out to your God. Does Jonah cry out to his God? Take two. He comes up aboard on the ship, and the sailors, they're casting lot to see whose sin it is. And of course, Jonah is chosen. And then he confesses to them, but does he confess to God? No. Then they say, let us throw you overboard. Does Jonah cry out to God and repent? He'd rather die and be thrown into the ocean than come face to face with God. So how many times did Jonah actually walk away from God? How many times did he actually reject God and still God spared his life? Can I tell you, if you're here today, it's because God wants you. He desires you. He has drawn you. He hasn't given up on you. He calls you by name. He knows you better than you know yourself. Call out to him and he will answer. Do you believe it today? Come on in the overflow. Do you love God today? Let's give him a shout. God is good. As long as you're still alive, the grace of the Father endures. He loves with a steadfast love. And when you come and surrender yourself, hear me. Take that second chance and turn it into a choice. A chance is exactly that with God. Now, don't misunderstand me. A chance with God is not by luck or coincidence. But a chance with God fully rests on your choice. Because God will not make you do anything. He has given us the gift of free will. He has given us the gift of making a choice. And every single chance with God, which is exactly what this moment is a chance with God. Every chance brings you to a crossroads of a choice with God. You have to make a choice. You may try to ignore it. Well, ignoring him is a choice. You may try to run away and walk in rebellion. Well, rebellion is your choice. Either way, every chance with God demands a choice. And Jonah obeys and a city is saved. Do you know that your obedience and your response to God can actually result in other people's salvation? Do you know that your faith in God and saying, God, I believe that you actually have forgiven me. I actually believe that I am a new creation in you. And your ability to believe and understand that and then walk in that can actually bring freedom and deliverance to the people in your circle of influence. That your life can be a flag of hope in a dark world and can say, if God did it for me, he can do it for you. I was bound. I was addicted. I was living in sin. I was walking the other way. But God, he set me free. And he is no respecter of persons. He'll do it for you. He's waiting to do it for you. He's the God of second chances. Every single chance demands a choice. If you look at the headers in your Bible above all the different parts of the book of Jonah, it's separated into four main parts. It says, Jonah flees. Then it says, God throws. In other words, God throws him into a storm. Then it says, Jonah prays. And then it says, Jonah goes. Hear me. So often in life, we get caught up in a cycle of those first three things. We run from God. God throws us in a storm for our own good so that we do not destroy ourselves. Then we pray, but then we never actually walk in obedience. So then we run again. And we pray a prayer in here and we really mean it, but then we walk out these doors and we walk back to our rebellion. We walk back to our sin. We walk back to our compromise. We live differently when we're inside these four walls than we do when we're with our friends and with our family and with our coworkers. And we just repeat the cycle because soon enough, we're fleeing again. Soon enough, God throws us in a storm again. And soon enough, we pray again. And for a moment, we feel peace in the presence of God. But we never actually walk in obedience. It doesn't just say that Jonah prayed a prayer of repentance. It then says, Jonah goes. And God has called you. And God has called me. That when we repent, when we really ask God and say, God, forgive me. You are the God of second chances. The chance is not so that you can just continue to walk in your brokenness. The chance is so that he can heal you, so that he can set you free. But you've got to make a decision that you will go, that you will walk with him. Every single chance demands a decision. This is what A.W. Tozer said. Prayer is never an acceptable substitute for obedience. The sovereign Lord accepts no offering from his creatures that is not accompanied by obedience. To pray for revival while ignoring or actually flouting the plain precept laid down in the scriptures is to waste a lot of words and get nothing for our trouble. Let me tell you, I don't know what the reason is for you not walking in obedience, but can I tell you, do not let fear keep you where you are. It may be a path of obedience that you are unfamiliar with, but God will give you the strength. His grace is sufficient. What he started in you, he will complete. Don't let fear keep you from walking in obedience. Don't let fear of others keep you from walking in obedience. Don't let insecurity keep you from walking in obedience. It's time for you to not just pray, God, change my life, but actually make a choice to walk with him so that he can make the change. Do you believe it today? We're about to close in just a moment, but let me make something really clear to you, because I think sometimes we get it confused. I think sometimes we repent and we say, God, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to walk face to face with you. I want to hear your voice. You know me better than I know myself. Why would I miss one moment walking closely with you? Being in church isn't enough. Being a part of a small group isn't enough. You need a face-to-face encounter with God. You need a prayer life. You need daily devotion with God. You need to worship God through the week. You need a face-to-face experience with the manifest presence of God. But so often when we repent, we go, okay, God, I choose you. Now I have to change myself. But that's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is you have a chance. You make a choice. And as you choose to obey God, God changes you. You go from a chance to a complete life change through the power and the presence of God. And only God can do it. True repentance isn't just what you're turning from, it's who you're turning to. And your repentance shouldn't be so wrapped up in, God, I just feel so bad about this sin. Our repentance should always be centered around, God, I know how much you love me. And God, more than anything, I'm just so sorry that I missed out, that I forfeited days and weeks and years of walking in your love. Because your love is what I want. Your love is the only thing that gives me peace. You may have everything the world has to offer, but at some point the distractions will cease. The silence will start to creep in, and you will realize that without the presence of God, you are empty. And Jesus said that he came so that you may have life and life abundantly. But hear me, if the cross was enough to forgive you of all your sins, then let the cross be enough to ordain your path every step of the way. He will establish your journey. He will be faithful. Let him make the change. He's the God of the second chance. Choose you today. You choose who you will serve.
Come on.
Because God is not far from you. He is close. He is here. And it's no accident. It's no chance or happenstance. No, it is a deliberate, intentional opportunity from God. Will you make a choice to obey him? And will you let him change you from the inside out? Your life will never be the same.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.